I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Full service.
Good. Welcome back to Full Service Radio. I'm Jack Inslee, your host, and we are here live on heritageradionetwork.org, as we always are, Thursday nights from 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. At the time of this show right now, I cannot confirm where LeBron James will be playing next year or Carmelo Anthony, unfortunately. Maybe by the end of the show I can announce something. I'm excited, man. My guests tonight literally just came from Natus's crib making tracks. I'm like, that's basically the most baller shit I've heard in a long time. Hyderabad's in the studio right now in town for an appearance tonight at Webster Hall. We're going to get into all that later, but I want you to fall in love with them from the music first, and then we will chat as we always do. It's our anniversary, five-year anniversary at Heritage Radio Network, so we're in the middle of a big fundraiser, so I know my listeners ain't really balling out like that, but any donation's appreciated, even if it's $5, so heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Give us something if you like this show. Yeah, I think that's about it for now. We're going to get right into the set, and we'll have a lot more to say later. Again, Hyderabad right now, live on Full Service Radio. We'll be back in 45.
Yo, what up? This is Amy from Norway. You're now working with Hyderabad.
We'll be right back.
By the bar.
Yeah. Wow, did the song just end? Did we really just time it that well? Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. Full Service Radio, you've been listening to the sounds of Hyderabad. More than half of that was original, by the way, I was just told.
True. Turn up.
Very much turn up. That was really, really, really good. A lot of like impressive original tunes in there.
Thanks. Appreciate that, bro.
Welcome to Brooklyn. To
man,
New York.
It's great to be back.
It's great to be up here again, man. Yeah.
When's the last time you guys were in New York?
We played last summer. Last summer. Played at Steel Drums, crazy rave.
That is a crazy spot.
It looked like Turok, something like that.
I want to, for full context here, the homie here, how do you say your name, your performance name? Yeah.
Cat Moop. Yeah, it's just my name flipped.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. You were with us at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
At the Christmas Club Barn.
That was unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Repping for us. You know, I had to put it down kind of hard. Make sure that people knew what we were doing down in Atlanta.
What I fuck with so heavy right now is that you're wearing the artist band from Bonnaroo still, which when Armando shows up, the homie that does the show with us next, he's got his on too.
Hey.
Yeah, we're still rocking that. So I want to get into music. I want to learn about where you guys come from, what you do, but this is a food talk radio station. I'm not sure if you're aware. Okay. So I'm going to have to throw you a curveball and ask you some food questions first.
I'm down.
I'm going to suck at it, but...
Okay. So I'm going to start with Bon. If you were a vegetable, what would you be?
Damn. That's a hard question right there. Damn, that's abstract. Like, you know what? I'm going to break the rules a little bit. I'm going to say pomegranate. That's a fruit, but I love pomegranate.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
I'd agree with that on his end.
You guys are both pomegranates? All right, no doubt.
Oh, no. I know he is.
Oh, he's a pomegranate.
He's got the pomegranate soul, vibes.
Soul fruit.
But what's Cat Moop?
I can't answer that question.
Okay, we can't give that answer away.
That's classified.
Next question. You guys are from Atlanta both, if I understand correctly? Or
yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. So I'll start with you, Cat. Favorite spot to eat in Atlanta?
I mean, I'm a big fan of, this is going to sound not local at all, but Chick-fil-A.
No doubt.
I eat Zaxby's.
Okay.
I'm a fan of the chicken.
No doubt. Bon?
I love this Indian restaurant called Zyka. I've been there, you know, I've lived in Atlanta for like 15 years. Still the best Indian food you can get, Zyka, you know. That's my heritage, so you got to go there for some bomb, you know, butter chicken, naan. Chili chicken, you know. Shouts out to Zyka. I know they're listening right now.
They are, actually. That's all I eat is Indian food, so I like that tip.
I'm gonna
definitely hit that up. So talk to me about how you guys met and how Hyderabad started. Did you both grow up in Atlanta? You said, Bon, you've been there for 15 years. Where were you before that?
Well, I was born in India, and I moved there when I was 8. But, you know, that's pretty much born and raised, yeah.
Okay.
Full raised.
And Kat, you were born, raised in Atlanta?
Born in North Carolina, moved there when I was 2. So okay. For 20 years, I've been in Georgia. 22 years now, I guess.
You guys meet in school?
No.
Well, kind of. Like, me and another local DJ named Taste Tester, Atlanta local. Like, I met him freshman year. Yeah, he's in our squad,
Tomahawk Chop Squad.
Shout out Chop Squad. You know, he's one of the head honchos. I met him freshman year. We would throw this party called Straight Flexin'. And that's a Soulja Boy lyric, for those who don't know. We would throw like a monthly party. We would have people like Clicks and Whistles and stuff before that was even popping. Mm-hmm. So that was hard for us to do as kids, but we wanted to put that kind of music on. And, you know, Matt would always come through and he would show support, and we just kind of linked up like that.
Oh, no doubt. Okay, cool. So now I'll start with you, Bond. What were you listening to before club music? Or, you know, we say club music, whatever we're talking about here. What's your first musical discovery before that?
Let's see. I mean, starting off DJing, like, when I was a kid, I was never really musically inclined. I would just listen to whatever my brother had in his collection, but I would always have a strong interest in music, you know? And then when I went to a rave when I was, like, 18, and that was, like, one of the most, you know, liberating kind of spiritual experiences I've ever had. So I just kind of started getting into a lot of maybe, like French kind of electro music, like Les Petits Pelus and like Ed Banger, stuff like that. And then, you know, it became a little bit more like commercialized, I guess. I kind of got sucked into that. That was just what was being played at the raves. Just any kind of...
But now, the rave scene was really your first musical...
Yeah, that's when I... You know, Crucible, that's where I kind of got my shit started.
Amazing.
And I would just kind of really do it competitively. Like, I really loved it. And, you know, now it's just completely different. Like, I see the diasporic change and everything is just kind of shifting. And we try to just stay ahead of the curve. That's a big goal, you know. But he's like a maestro, you know. Matt's been in music shit since he was like 3 years old.
Tell me. Because I saw pictures of you drumming at Bonnaroo at base camp for Red Bull. So, what's your musical
Thundercat,
lineage?
Nonetheless, like...
That's insane.
Dream of mine come true.
Cheech!
Easily. Times two. I mean, I started out, you know, first musical discovery was like Linkin Park. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And then I picked up the guitar because of them. And then, well, I'd been playing, like, keyboard 2 years before that, and then I picked up guitar, and then I went to guitar lessons, and I was like, let me play the drums. And he was like, no, you're supposed to learn guitar. So I got drums, and then I played in an extreme grindcore metal band for 5 years, changed time signatures, like, every 5 seconds.
Amazing.
That's where I learned a lot of, like, rhythmic stuff. And then I was making rap beats on the side. Like, I wanted to make beats for, like, Kid Cudi and stuff. And then... met this dude, and we were both listening to, like, Hudson Mohawk and Tonight and stuff. We were like, yo, let's make bangers. And then as we progressed, we started seeing our vision a little more clearly and started moving. And now we're just much more preferable to, like, double time or, like, real rap music. Like, a lot of the electronic rap music, like, trap stuff, it's kind of gotten
up very
old.
It's a little too diluted for us because, like, for me, music is more about ethos. It's not, like... It's not what can you throw together. Even if that's the case, if you have like an amalgam of different artists with different backgrounds, it should be something more genuine. We'd never go for anything that's like, you know, convoluted or kind of derivative,
reductionist.
We hate things like that. We want it to be more about the ethos. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's what's going to really shine through in like 10, 20 years, not what's really at like the surface level, you know.
Those waves crash every time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when did you guys get together and start making music? It sounds like pretty recently.
May 2012.
Wow. So you're fresh in this. And I mean, you've made a lot of headway in 2 years.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
We came in from the start knowing that we needed a concise vision and idea with our music. And since we started with that, and I had been like pretty much managing our band and all that stuff for the past 5 years, so I learned all the ins and outs of how to get booked and how to like promote yourself correctly. And like our crowning achievement, I guess, as a band, we played with several touring bands that we looked up to heavily, but we got in like Alternative Press magazine. I don't know if you know about that. It's like some band stuff that we loved, but then we kind of broke up, and then I was like, well, I know how to do this. So when we started making music, it just we brought it up to our style, and you know.
Do you miss grindcore?
Oh yeah, but I mean, I love it still. I still listen to it all, like not frequently, but sometimes. But I just, if it's not mixed that well, I can't get into it anymore. It's like being like, engineering is just so much harder to watch bands and listen to their music when I'm just like, tweak that.
Yeah. But, well, talk to me about how you guys divide up the workload when you're making tracks. Are you more rhythmically inclined? Are you or is it like...
No, it's like more 50-50%. Very, you know, equal. I'd say like...
Are you in the same room when you work together?
For a lot of it. Sometimes, like, we'll make our own tracks and throw it up, like...
Yeah, it really depends, like, what the end goal is. Like, if we're trying to make, like, an EP or something, we have a new EP coming out pretty soon.
Hopefully
you know,
next
we...
month.
We'll really sit down and conceptualize for a long time before we even make something, you know, because we already have four under our belt. So every single concept from now on, you know, we want it to be even stronger, more interwoven, more things for people to discover, you know. I think that's really important for us in the creative process. But we're also, as you can see from this set, we both have like just dozens and dozens of tracks under our belt. And I have a solo project that I'm not really, I can't really talk about just yet, but I've been working on that for the past year. And, you know, Matt's always got his Cat Moop stuff that he works on by himself. So it's just, you know, it just depends what we're doing, really.
Sure. And is music full time for both of you right now?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I graduated last May from Georgia Tech. So ever since then, I just sit in my room, make tracks, make visuals just all day. Yeah. Create.
I'm actually a film student, but this is what I do. Yeah, this is how I expect to make a living. And my education in film is only meant to augment this. It's nothing more.
Sure. And I mean, early into that, like, you guys are kind of fresh out of school. How are you finding it? Has it been easy to support yourselves with gigs, or is there other supplemental, you know, like, how do you juggle that, you know? Because I think a lot of people want to make that switch and, like, go pro and say, this is my full-time gig, but what advice would you have for them?
I would say, more than anything, like, just wait, you know, like, when you have you really need to wait and conceptualize and create something strong, because the market nowadays is like, you know, it's the power is right at your fingertips. Like, the market is different, you know, the distribution model is different. So you can have something really fire, you can have something crazy, you know, and you can have something really fresh, but I would just say you to pull back and like wait and see what, you know, what opportunities come your way, because putting out music by yourself is really, it's still not that preferable, you know, even though you're not going to be making, you know, $10,000-$20,000 off a release, having a label backing you is, that can help a lot, you know, that's still a good look. And in DJ culture nowadays, you'll see on the bills, like, everybody has a label, everybody has, you know, everybody has something backing them, and that's still important, man. I don't think that culture will really go away. I was interning at this record label called Stick Figure Records out of Atlanta, which put out like a lot of great stuff, like, you know, like Atlas Sound, stuff like that, you know, Deer Hunter, Mastodon, stuff like that. Yeah. And label head, he told me, you know, this is like probably 2010. He told me, you know, in the next couple of years, you'll see the resurgence of like these small labels backing artists. And, you know, that's like, you know, Nostradamus right there.
So it's about the affiliations, really.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah. I imagine that helps with booking as well.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay. We're on Paradisiacha right now, which is a small label out of the Netherlands. But, you know, you'll be surprised who actually cares about that. You know, like,
right.
People will come up and be like, oh, you're on Paradisiacha? It's like, somebody might not know. Like, most people are not going to know what that is. But for the people that do care, you know, mm-hmm. That's what really matters.
At South by Southwest, I was at Lucky Me, and I was talking to A.G. Cook, founder of PC Music. And he was just like, oh, yeah, that label you're on, like, I really like it. And I was just like, whoa, okay.
So that's the conversation starter. It's not hey, I got a bunch of tracks on Bandcamp, let me send them to you. And, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, also, like, upon that question, like, to make something really last, you got to make sure it's timeless with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you make something and you can listen to it at any point in your life and still love it 100%, then you've got something personal and pure, and nothing can take that away from you, regardless of if you're, like, swagging out money-wise.
Yeah, you know, and I would also encourage young artists to just, like, be more, like, just be more learned and just read more about stuff, because like for me it's a lot about articulating like my, just like my journey in life in general, you know. It's like I read a lot of philosophy, I read a lot of stuff like that. I'm really into metaphysics and things like that. And those things really, I think, especially with electronic music production, they intertwine so much, you know. Like I'm able to apply those concepts to music, which I think is a beautiful thing. And I would encourage younger artists to do that, because electronic music in general is becoming more and more conceptual. It's not just like, oh, this is a hot beat right now, this is a hot syncopation right now, we're all going to get behind that. No, it's like, because you see a lot of releases coming out, people will have like 5-6 genres on there, but they're not really pegging it as a genre. It's how well you can articulate that idea and, you know, still have the nuances of that genre without having to like express that like explicitly. You know, you just learn it. That's expected. Yeah. Now, if you look at someone like Fade to Mind, someone like Daniel and Ozma, they make a grime track, but they're not going to like slap that label on it. It's just part of their ethos. They're learned, you know, and that's what I look for in an artist, you know.
And I think it's what you guys have as well. Production question. This is something I've been tossing around with some guests lately. How do you guys feel about taking drum hits from other releases?
I was kind of talking about doing that today. Like, there's a specific kick I was listening to, and I'm like, damn, I'm gonna rip that. Like, because like as you create the track, you know, you're gonna EQ it completely differently as you go, so it's just gonna turn into its own sound. And all drum samples are just samples anyway.
Yeah.
So it's for the majority, unless you're sitting there, you know, making your own tone. That I respect that 100%, but I honestly,
it's labor intensive.
There's so many samples out there and all different types of drum hits that people have given away anyway. So if you're just gonna rip it off a track and it's just a drum sound, you know.
Honestly, I haven't used the actual like percussion, like percussive noise in so long. It's just like really a tone that sits in the place of like where that syncopation would be. Mm. Like if you'd have like a snare there, it would just be like some like whoop, some sound like that or something. Just whatever. Just trying to get more creative with how I can piece together tracks, but I don't really think it's a big deal. It's, you know, there's so much music out there already.
Unless it's like
very, very obvious or something.
The track only has a drum part.
Or that one time Diplo stole from St. John. Oh, where you're not supposed to say that. Shit. Damn.
Yeah, Diplo did that, actually.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Take kicks from Hydrobat. I'm just playing.
Hey, I called him out on Twitter, and he changed it, so.
Wow.
He just took the first 15 seconds as a riser. It was probably in a riser pack, like a VST. Like, But, you know, you probably didn't know. I'm and sorry. Then I pointed it out, and then he changed it. So
yeah, I'll say, Diplo's a dick, man.
he's a genius, though.
Yeah, the Sega thing had me feeling a certain kind of way. Sega's a great guy, and I didn't really appreciate that.
That was very
sus. Out to DJ Sega.
Yeah, for real.
It's just, you know, like, if you can do more and actually just, like, make your production better on your own accord, why not do that, you know? You don't have to be lazy. Like, there's no reason to do that.
Right.
Like, maybe someone like Diplo, you don't have enough time. I'm not even going to speculate on that. Yeah, I'm not trying to get in trouble, quote-unquote, right
now. Shouts out to Diplo, but at the same time, not shouts out.
You know, like, if you can just put in that extra work and make everything completely unique, isn't that so much better? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people want to come to your music to sample that. That's what I want.
That's what you have. Yeah. Well,
take our drum hits. We're down.
Exactly. I don't have much time left. I want to squeeze a little bit in here. The Natus stuff. How did you get connected with him? What were you guys working on with him?
I'm trying to think how we got connected, but pretty much, I think we just started talking. Or I hit him up.
Facebook.
I just hit him up on Facebook and internet. Sent him Ice Chasm, and he was like, "Yo, this is cool." And then we just started talking, and then.
We were talking to him earlier. He said that like he really hadn't heard any like kind of Jersey club that was more like, you know, completely based around like melody, you know, like
his new record is kind of on that too.
It's totally amazing. Compositional Jersey club. I think that it's a little, you know, it's not like we innovated that, but he said he hadn't heard anything like that. You know, so I think he was a little impressed by that. He really dug us. So.
And you guys are working on tracks together.
Yeah, we started three. Yeah. Oh, we started Amazing. Three yesterday.
Amazing.
Yeah. About to finish them tomorrow in the studio. So.
But he set up our show at Webster for us and kind of brought us out here.
Which was going to bring us full circle, exactly. Yeah. So you guys are doing the house party thing tonight, which...
Hell yeah.
In the room curated by Slinkin and Dirty South Joe. I think Swizzy Mac's going to be there.
Yeah, it's his release party. He just dropped the track on Ultra.
I mean, that's some good company to be in right there.
Yeah, I'm
Slink,
excited.
Swizzy Mac, Dirty South Joe, and Hydrabad.
I'm about to turn up, bro. Down. I heard the green room has so much alcohol. And on a side
note... And other
note,
things, most likely.
And on a side note, this restaurant has really cute waitresses. I'm getting distracted.
Skirt.
Yeah. I'm looking at my girlfriend. She can't see me, though.
Hey.
All right, man. Thank you, guys. I'm stoked to have had you in. I'm glad the timing worked out.
This is really fun.
Yeah, man. I look forward to following up with you guys because, I mean, I think it's amazing that you've only been in it 2 years, really. A lot in a short amount of time. You have a song you're going to close the show with, I understand?
Yeah, it's a remix for Japanese artist Broken Haze. He put out his album... I think last year he had remixes from S-Type, Bobby Tank, and Machine Drum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like re-releasing singles soon. I don't know when it's going to come out, but we just knocked out this remix for him.
And real quick, we just had a remix come out for Boy/Friend earlier today.
I heard he played that last
week. He was here last week?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we just dropped today on Live for the Funk. So.
Beautiful. Well, we're keeping it all in the fam as we always do in full service radio. So we're going to close the show. Thank you again, Hydrabad.
Thank you, man.
Many wise words. Everything. Again, Webster Hall tonight. That's big. And, I mean... The party's crazy. There's like three separate floors and rooms of stuff.
Four,
just four. Right? Just Blaze is there.
Yeah,
and I
for
mean,
sure.
It's bananas. Totally bananas. So if you're listening right now, Webster Hall tonight. If you're listening in the future, Google Hydrabad.
Let's turn up.
Turn up, man.
Yes. We'll see you guys next week. Subscribe on iTunes if you enjoy the show. We're live every single Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Jack Inslee. Gunwash is up next with Rat King. Exciting. You're full service. We'll see you next week.
Full service.
No, yo. Thank you, man.
Yeah, that was
a great interview, too. Man. Really great. Thank you, man.
Hyderabad. 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 Hyderabad.